Hey, welcome to episode number 500, and for this milestone, I interview Steve Lacy. Steve's a true pioneer. He didn't just adapt to technology. He helped churches pioneer its use. Going from a kid with a lawn mowing business to a decades-long engineer for a major aerospace industry, before he had his aha moment and launched JSL Solutions back in 2001. It's all coming up next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
This is episode number 500.
Woohoo!
Nobody cares.
Everybody's going crazy.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares except us. I'm Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
As I've said before, we were on the cutting edge and doing these kind of things long before it was fashionable for podcasts, you know? And now we do video. We were doing video back then on your futon.
That is right.
So we're not.
We did. We were live streaming weekly with the Phil and Steve show way back then. Not sure what we were talking about. But
I don't know. Probably more interesting stuff than we talk about now, but streamingchurch.tv, we were talking about streaming mostly, but we talked about other things. We had other people on, and I remember we had this goofy thing where we used Skype, and we had a camera. We did somebody, one of our first people, we did it more than once, but we had one person that was, you know, we used to do just you and I, and then we thought, well, we ought to get some guests, but they're not local. So how do we get these people? Like, oh, here's what we'll do. We'll just put them on Skype, point a camera at the Skype, and switch back and forth between the person on the on Skype, which was on just a screen, right?
I remember that. I've forgotten all about that.
That's a memorable thing. Yeah, I need to mention that for next week's podcast. But we would point a camera at Skype at a computer monitor, and then we would go back to us and, you know, ask a question and then switch back to the person on Skype, and it was just high quality.
We did some good ones with some in-person mm-hmm. guests. So I probably the most memorable was the active shooter at your church guy that was an expert on active shooter situations.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sadly, because that's a thing. We've done that before, too, with some other people. Okay, so look, today, because it's our 500th episode, and you didn't want to do this, but I'm forcing it on you, I want to interview Steve Lacy, and I want to talk about some things I think that people might be interested in if you're somebody that's in leadership and maybe even have kind of an entrepreneurial is that the right word? Entrepreneurial spirit?
Entrepreneurial, yes.
Entrepreneurial. Yeah, there we go. I've once again mispronounced that word. It's so weird that I was in radio all these years and I still can't pronounce words or names right. I was reading somewhere where that's a brain problem, but I don't know if that's true, but I'll blame it on my brain. All right, so I'm going to jump in here. This is episode number 500, and next week, you want to talk about more memorable, I guess, memorable occasions or moments during your illustrious.
Through the almost 25-year history, we've had some funny times, some fun times, some memorable times for me, and some very scary times. So anyway, people within their church might be interested in hearing
kind of the ups and downs. 501. That will be next week, if all goes well. All right. So this is 2024, the year 2024. And one of the things when I was reading your bio, 2025.
It's like, do I let that one go? I don't know. Okay.
I am just a mess. What year is it? Where am I? It is 2025. Can you believe, though, that it is 2025?
A few more weeks, and then it'll be 2026.
I just can't believe that, you know. But I'm at the point now where if somebody asks me something, when was that? You know, it's like I think of 2020 because that's kind of the pandemic marker, you know. And so I always think, well, was that before 2020 or after 2020 when I'm you know, as somebody's asked me a question about something, and I don't know if it was 2 years ago or 10 years ago. That's probably early to mention. All right. So I was reading your bio, and you had this on LinkedIn.
The bio on LinkedIn. Okay. All right. Yes. I was wondering if you had read the LinkedIn bio. Yeah,
I read the LinkedIn bio. So I have some questions based on the LinkedIn bio, which I think people might find interesting. Maybe not. One of the things I did find interesting off the bat that I don't know if you ever told me, you probably did, because we've known each other since the 1990s, but I don't remember you talking about cutting grass, mowing lawns.
I did.
That's what I used to do too. When I was growing up, I cut grass. I cut people's grass, and then in the wintertime, you didn't have like snow where you grew up, right? But no. I had snow in Ohio, so we had a little Massey Harrison tractor, with it was a kind of a full blown tractor, and then we had a snow plow on it. We had a plow for the back end, because my dad used to plow, and I did that too. But then we had a snow plow on the front, so in the winter I would plow people's driveways. But enough about me. Let's talk about me. Now let's talk about you. So you cut grass. You as a kid, you started with, and it says here, you started with 10 lawns. That's more than I did. And then you scaled back, right?
Yeah. Well, I started with one, and my dad had bought a self-propelled lawnmower, and I thought, lawn mowing is a breeze. I'm going to cut yards. And I was probably 12, 13, I don't know. And I got one, then I got two, then I got three. And the first one was, I remember to this day, it was $4. I would mow their front and backyard and edge their front and backyard for $4. This is a house down the street. And then I got another one. And, you know, with that kind of prices, you know, everybody's like, I get that lazy kid, he'll mow your yard. Pretty soon I had 10, and I just kept going up because I didn't want a full time 10 lawns. That's, you're mowing more than one a day, you know, because you're,
right,
you know, typically mowing every week.
Yeah.
So, So as I got more and more of them, the price went up. So that was, almost the last lawn I got, the 10th lawn was like 2.5 times the amount of the first lawn.
Wow. That's funny you said $4, because that's what mine was too. It must have been the going rate back then. Huh?
I guess, yeah. I remember the last one was $10. So I went back to the first person because I wanted to cut back. And I said, I need to raise your rates. And they said, okay, if you're going to raise my rates, then you got to do more work. You got to trim my bushes. And being an intimidated 12-year-old, I said, okay. You know, but then eventually I just said, I'm not doing this anymore, you know, after a while. But yeah, I got my buddies. I mean, in order to, you know, keep the thing going, I recruit my friends. And, one of my buddies he would come help me. So he would help me, and I'd do the mow backyard. He'd do the front yard, something like that. I came out in the front yard once, and my buddy, this was junior high age, cause still is a very good friend of mine, but he was a character. But he had written a very large 4-letter expletive in the front lawn with his lawnmower. He goes, Lacey, come check it out. How am I doing? I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to get that. Anyway.
That's funny. That's funny you recruited people. That's interesting. So when I kept doing it, even when I was 16, I had another job too at the time, but my dad had a Jeep pickup truck with a long bed, and we had a Simplicity lawnmower. So I got to where I would go somewhere, you know, most of the stuff was in the neighborhood, right? But I would go somewhere like 4 or 5 miles, and I couldn't drive the lawnmower that far, right? It was a riding Simplicity mower. So I would drive it up on the back of the pickup inside the bed. And that was always fun because you're never really sure, you know, did I get those planks right?
Drive the pickup?
Drive the pickup over to the place and cut the grass. I was 16.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah.
I was definitely not
driving. Yeah, so that was another challenge.
Might have been 15. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I had to walk everywhere I went in the snow, uphill both ways. So, yeah, yes. Yeah.
That's interesting, though. All right. So what is the lesson? So I want to get something out of this. What's the most important? I mean, I didn't know you recruited people, so you're already in a business mindset. What was the most important business or, I don't know, maybe life lesson learned from that first experience?
I think if you can provide a good service for a reasonable price, people, and you're willing to work, people will take you up on it. So yeah, it was quite the venture. So,
wow. Interesting. And so let's talk a little bit more. Let's fast forward a little bit because you're a degreed engineer. Mm-hmm. How did this mindset, this problem solving, I guess you'd call it discipline, as somebody that was an engineer for many years, you were an engineer for a large aerospace company.
I was.
How did that shape your approach to the stuff that you developed later? So the company, I'll get this up front. The company is called JSL Solutions. That's us. And we have streamingchurch.tv. We have myflock.com, which was kind of the first deal that came out of that. And then we have Church App Live. We have other ones too, Daily Diet 365 and some other stuff. But how did the mindset of an engineer, how did that shape the way you approached, the other products that we've developed?
Well, I think the biggest influence that the aerospace engineering area had on me was that we were right at the advent of computer aided design and computer aided manufacturing. So we were just getting in very expensive engineering workstations into our area. Initially, they were running on mainframes. And I was very fortunate in that I took an interest in it. And so I would get in the first classes and be doing some really, early stuff. So, and got to play with the fun toys. I mean, it's, I like to, I've mentioned to you before, I was on the internet before there was an internet. So
That's right. That
allowed us, yeah. And it was doing some other fun things like that are fairly commonplace today, like 3D printing. We would model things, 3D model things on the computer, and you could get them printed. The printers were, I think, $250,000 printers back then. So you had to have a large aerospace company in order to afford one. And actually, our company that I work for did not have one, but a company in the LA area basin, which is not far from us, did. And so that's kind of how I was able to get on the internet before there was browsers and send design files to, it was actually Hughes Aircraft. And they had a big, very nice stereolithography 3D printer. So anyway, I got to do lots of fun stuff early on. And Basically got through the whole CAD/CAM world, got introduced to software side of things because I'm a mechanical engineer. So mechanical engineers typically don't do software stuff. But since I was really heavy into the CAD world, I started doing a lot of software. So that was probably the biggest influence that the whole aerospace career had on me.
And when you say CAD, what's CAD for those who may not know what that means?
Computer-aided design.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mentioned that earlier. But yeah, computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing, CAD/CAM was the buzzword back then.
Okay. So let's roll the clock back a little to 2001. And I know you didn't leave your career in 2001. But you started myflock.com.
Yes.
And that kind of started things up, and that went really well. And then I'm sure in your brain.
For a few years, yes.
Well, yeah. But I'm sure during that process, did you ever think about leaving your career to build on
this? I mean, this is 2001, so the internet the bubble has just burst,
right?
And everybody is, becoming bazillionaires by joining all these small software startup companies. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I had dreams. I had no expectations, but yeah, there were some of my peers that were leaving the aerospace area and going to other companies. And one of the guys that several people that I had hired at my job there were getting lured away to another company. And most of them took the bait of stock options. Like, you know, we're going to have you come to, this was a healthcare field or healthcare company that mm-hmm. was stealing most of my engineers away. And most of the guys took stock options, but one of the guys said, no, I'm not taking the stock options. And if you don't take the stock options, you get paid more. And fast forward a few years, stock options are worthless. And yeah, this guy that, you know, cause they're like, they give you a reduced pay, but you get a piece of the company with when they go public and become bazillionaires, but that never happens.
It's so funny because I was just talking this weekend to a guy that worked for AOL, and he took stock options, and then who bought AOL? Was it not Warner
Time
Brothers?
Warner.
Time Warner bought it, and I guess the stock went really up really well for a short period of time, and a lot of his buddies, he was in like the tech support area, and a lot of his buddies, you know, sold their stock options at the right time. They got lucky. And he goes, it was so funny because a lot of these guys made a lot of money on the stock options because it went way up, you know, for a period of time. And then he goes, it's so funny because you drive in and you'd see all these tech support guys and you'd see these Corvettes and stuff in the parking lot.
Yeah.
But he held on to his and then it went down. I don't know what happened, but it went down. It's like pretty much worthless. Okay. So what point, though, did you say, I might want to leave my career and actually do this? Was there a specific aha moment?
Well, the aha moment came a few years later when the income from the side job was matching the income or better than the income from the main job. Okay. And I had a career crossroads, a career crisis happen where they were downsizing my organization that I was in. They were actually eliminating the whole organization. And I was very troubled because I'd been in the industry for a long time and was thinking, what am I going to go do? I got this side thing going, but it's, you know, it could be fickle. But that was the point where, you know, I was very stressed, prayed about it, and decided it was just a God thing. It ended up being just, you know, you look back during it, you're going, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen? And this is terrible. And this is miserable. And then
I remember you're going through that. I remember that very well.
And then a few years later, you look back and you're like, wow, that worked out really well. You know, yeah. God's hand was all over that, that transition.
Well, I remember that. I remember that, you know, you were struggling with, you know, what you were going to do and maybe, you know, pursue other aerospace type of things. And I remember thinking it would be great if you could really devote full time to this, you know, and because, you know, we needed that, I'm sure, you know, I'll get to it a little bit later, but I'm sure, you know,
you were already full time on it. Right. And I was.
Full-time. Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, there's things I can't do. I mean, some of it I can, but some of it I can't, a lot of it I can't. So a lot of the behind the scenes stuff and the coding and troubleshooting things, there's always something going on. You know, usually it's not us, it's somebody else that's doing something that affects us, but we'll get to that in a little bit. All right. So, let's see here. I got a bunch of questions for you. Let's talk a little bit about, we got some time here. There's a couple of these I could save for later. What do you think is the major challenge when it comes to an area? And you've been working with churches, and even as an adult, you were involved in church work. You weren't on staff, but you were in some type of leadership capacity on the board. Mm-hmm. You're very much hands-on. you know, as all of us here for this company. So what do you think is the one major challenge or area of ministry technology that is still underserved today that maybe we could tackle next?
Oh, I don't know. I must say this. I remember, and actually was driving to work on my, before I had left the aerospace career. And one of the guys that I podcasts I used to listen to early on was admonishing. He was doing, he wrote, his name was Dan Miller, I believe. And he wrote 48 Days to the Work You Love. And he was admonishing, he said, you don't want to go into serving the church. He said, there's no money in the church. And he was a Christian guy. And, but he said, you know, you just want to avoid that because, you know, that was an area that you know, you don't want to be in. And as I look back now, I feel like very fortunate that all we do is work with the church. It's just a different business model. The ethics are there. You don't have to deal with, you know, other people, friends of mine, even people in my family have started small companies, and you just got to put up with so much that we don't have to put up with. So
give me some examples. What do they have to put up with that we don't?
Well, people just try and take advantage of you as well. You know, oh, how can I get this thing for free and then not, and just skate on it and be, you know, annoying and try to just, you know, be obnoxious about trying to get it for free or doing, you know, just, or causing trouble and that sort of thing. So it's with the church, there's, you know, it's, you know, a lot of churches, it is true what the guy had mentioned that churches often struggle financially, but they are typically responsive and diligent and good to work with, you know, with, even if they're going through financial trouble, we'll work with the churches. They don't typically, we have seen occasionally where they're, you know, they get behind and you try to reach out and they try to hide from you and that sort of thing. But that typically is not the case. So,
yeah, typically. I mean, I've been working really closely with you for the last, 15 years or more. And we maybe had that happen once or twice. I don't think it's been a big deal. There's been a couple unscrupulous people we've dealt with. But yeah, you're right. By and large,
sometimes we get some angry senior pastors that are just, or I guess, impatient, or I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm not even thinking of that. I mean, there's one guy I think in particular it was just one or two people out of the whole bunch that we've had
many,
all these
many,
years.
Yes.
You know, so I mean, it happens. People are human. It doesn't matter. But so you mentioned something about you mentioned your family. And you mentioned, I know all your kids, and I missed the last one's wedding. Sorry about that. My wife had surgery, but I wish Chad well. But let's talk a little bit about this impact that you've been doing on your family. So you were working two jobs for a while, as we just mentioned.
You know,
and then eventually you started to do this full time. When were you actually full time? But what year was that? Were you
It was the end of 2012.
Okay, so 2012. So, but before that, you were, you know, since 2001, juggling different things, doing a lot of things.
Yeah, you were handling a lot of things for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, but how did that affect your family? Because you got four kids, doing all this. How did this affect your family and your relationship with your wife and your kids?
Well, very early days of the MyFlock era, I was doing all my work in our family room with a computer. And my wife would mention, because I'm just seeing the back of your head all the time now. So, because I was always, you know, if I had free moments, I would be over there working on the computer. But it's always been a priority. Family has always been a priority for me. So I tended to try to do my best to not become a monk in the corner, obsessed over stuff. So,
yeah. And you've been married how long now?
We are going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary. So,
wow. When is that going to be?
That's next June. We are
next June coming up.
Going back to our honeymoon location. Yeah. They have never been back. Hawaii.
South LA? Where was it? Oh, Hawaii. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, congratulations in advance. So, I know all your kids, and I have to admit, I love your kids. Your kids are great. And here's the thing I think is very interesting, because you've worked, you know, you juggle these two jobs, and even after leaving aerospace industry and really sinking your teeth into what we do now with Streaming Church and the other products, we have other products. Your kids seem like they've turned out pretty darn good.
And
they've got, some of them have their own businesses, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I am very blessed. So four boys, and they have all done extremely well. So three engineers and a dentist. And as I think about it, the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well with most of them. I don't know if they caught it from me or whatever, but my oldest he's a software developer, and he has a side business now that he's been doing for many, many years, and as well as his full-time job. Second son has, you know, his dental office, which is growing like a weed. He's going to buy his third office in next month.
You need to get somewhere here in my neck of the woods, because I'm seriously thinking about changing dentists.
Tina, they did their little annual Christmas party, and we were over at his house, and Tina said, "Look at this picture of their staff." And it's like, wow. It was just him and his high school buddy in the beginning, which was just a few years ago. And now they've got quite the team. So, And then my other son did the same thing that I've done. He was working actually at the same company as an engineer and had a passion for what he was doing on the side, and left his engineering career to do his full-time passion. He's a, I guess you'd call it a short version of a YouTube influencer. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing. 'Cause you know, I read these things, I'm sure you have too, these guys that have started companies and done all these things, and then you look at their family and they're in the dumps. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not talking financially, I'm just talking relationally, you know. There's separations, they hate each other, there's all this drama going on, but I don't see any of that in your family. So
We are just extremely blessed.
Tremendous.
Yeah, very strong. Everyone lives here in the same town.
Yeah.
They're all married. As you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned earlier, but I went and saw grandkid number 7 this morning at the hospital. He was born yesterday. So,
And he's not ugly either, is he? We were talking off. you got a good looking family, good kids, good people. All right, we're going to wrap this up because we're already running out of time. So, if you could go back and give one piece of advice to the young Steve Lacy, who maybe just launched things in 2001, what would it be?
What would it be? It would probably to, I have been always been the DIY guy, and you know, the engineer in me. I probably would have recommend hiring out specialty expertise sooner than I did. So that would be the key thing, I think. So bite the bullet and say, I can do it myself, but let's pay somebody that does this for, that's all they do.
Yeah. And why is that? Why would you do that now?
It probably would have accelerated things for me. Probably wouldn't, it would come at an expense of the income that I would have had. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back, I probably wouldn't change too much, but it's been a fun journey. I think I have been very blessed with this, and it has been able to keep it in the lane that I think it needed to be, I think, or that God wanted this to be. You know, a lot of times it's, oh, you're Zuckerberg and you're getting approached by these investment firms and alienating your friends and all these kind of things. So that, that didn't happen. It all kind of stayed as a small, at times slow growing, sometimes faster growing, but it's always been a growing business and just and what they call a bootstrap business. So no external funds or investments were made. Actually, I think from the beginning, I had to rent some servers for probably $30 a month or something. But then we were making, $100 a month on the first customers that were coming in. And so it's always a positive cash flow.
Yeah. So. Well, you've done a good job. We're out of time here. But I just thought it was appropriate, since this is number 500 episode, that we talk a little bit more about you and your life. And you've been a great person to work with, very patient with me and patient with our customers. And you're not a very patient driver. But, you're good when it comes to doing this stuff.
They need my son. They just 2 nights ago were there. I was at their house because my wife was going in with the baby and she's in labor. My daughter-in-law is in labor. And they finally, I'm all like, I think you guys should go. I think you guys should go. Oh, let's just wait. Let's
go to the hospital.
Go to the hospital. Yeah, because it's 35 minutes away. And I went and visited them this morning, and she's like, the daughter-in-law is, Ben, you need to run these yellow lights. She says, we've got to get there. You've got to be more aggressive. We're going to, because he's a very, very patient.
Very patient and safe driver.
Yes, a very patient and safe driver. And his wife was like, come on, don't stop at the yellow. Let's go.
Well, I don't always say you were jiving me because you said I'm kind of a slow poke, but I'll run yellow lights too. It's not, but you it's pedal to the metal. And you're not like Jeff Love though. Your pastor, when he's going places, when I ride with him, it's like I get car sick because he just runs up to things and stops. And so you're going this way, you're going that. It's just he herky jerky, and you don't do that.
I tell people I am not a fast driver. I do not go over the speed limit, but I'm a quick driver. I don't mess around.
You'll get there quick and you're smooth. You make it smoother. But yeah, but Jeff
it's been over 20 years since I've had a speeding ticket. So good for you. That is good.
Yeah. All right. Well, you made it. All right. So we're out of time. We already went over. So next week we'll talk about some of your memorable moments with this company. I have a couple myself, but you have a lot more, it sounds. So we'll do that probably next week. But we do want to wish people a very Merry Christmas. If you're listening to this before Christmas, this is December in 2025. And as we wrap up here, if we can help you with anything with your church, I just sent out an email. Mike Gray's on vacation, so I did an email this week to admin people. We send emails to admins and we send emails to everybody on the mailing list. And one of the things I asked was, hey, what is the biggest challenge you might have in ministry? Tell me your biggest challenge. Tell me your biggest problem that needs to be solved in ministry. I did that. I don't know if you saw that or not. But if you're listening to this and you have a challenge or a problem, not saying that we can necessarily solve it. And I'm not just saying tech either. I'm not just saying tech stuff. Yeah. But I'd like to hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah. We want to get to know the heart of the ministries we serve. Yeah. And knowing what challenges them and maybe what excites them is always good to know.
Yeah, and if we can't fix a problem, we know a lot of people now that could. So there's all sorts of possibilities out there. So if you're listening to this and you are, if you've made it this far, hey, let us know your biggest challenge, your biggest problem, the obstacles you're facing in ministry, tech or non-tech, and we'd love to hear from you. So just respond to this. You can always go to streamingchurch.tv and just click it in the chat there, and we'll get it even if we're not there. But all right, so Mr. Steve Lacy, thank you for this interview. Thank you for your patience with me and your work with this company. I know that you've blessed literally thousands of people.
Yeah, that's it makes it all worthwhile. I look, one of our tables in our database shows unique viewers. It's got millions and millions and millions in there.
So, wow, that's great. That's really good. So, and hopefully nothing was buffering at the time. Hopefully they can see good video.
Yes, there. Yeah.
But that's another subject. All right. Folks, if you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions Podcast, please do so. Let us know your thoughts. Give us a rating. And we're already over time, so I'll say goodbye to Steve. And I'm Phil Thompson, and we will talk to you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourself and each other.